Hello, welcome to the Bush League Gaming Podcast, your source for ordinary opinions from ordinary gamers. Today, we're covering a few news topics and diving into some special segments. I'm your host, Jacob Bush, and with me today, he can tell the exact make and model of a vehicle simply by rubbing his hand around the rim of an exhaust pipe. Leader of Intendites, Ryan Scalp.
Oh, man. I wish that were true. I wish I knew more about cars than I do. I know a decent amount. I know more than you. And I know more than you.
I don't know anything.
But I don't know a ton.
Yeah.
I wish I could just work on my own car. That's been a huge part of my life, is other people working on my car and just telling me what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I have no actual ability to determine what's true and what's not. So they can literally say whatever they want.
Yeah. I feel like I'm destined to get ripped off over the course of my life just because I don't know anything about vehicles.
Yeah.
I probably know more about makes and models than you know. You think you know a lot about the actual cars out there in production?
Yeah, we're probably similar in that. You know a lot of makes and models. I'm just saying internally I could
probably point out more. To rub an exhaust pipe and know.
I actually put my whole mouth on it.
I've seen that actually. It's
and especially once you turn it on, I'll know instantly.
Yeah.
Because they all put out a different type of exhaust.
Right, because you do it blindfolded at first.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Been in many competitions.
Let's get out of that intro, please.
I'm trying not to look at Jacob's notes, so I have to keep my eyes up here. They wander.
Moving on. He was recently issued a restraining order from the Santa Claus at Arrowhead Mall after he tried sitting on his lap while he was on his lunch break in the food court. Your favorite Crip boy, Nick Beer.
Look, dude, I was at the regular line, and there was a height limit. I was taller than the height limit, which is weird because I'm not very tall. First time for me. And I want to hang out with him in the food court.
Sorry. They said you sat on his lap.
You got to put your list in some way.
That's what he's for, right?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Did you come up with that one?
I did.
That was a pretty good one.
Thanks. Yeah. Honestly, just late last night, that just hit my brain.
Dude, I just watched Elf in the scene with, you smell like beef and cheese.
Yeah.
That is an all-time greatest Christmas movie scene. So good.
They don't make classics like that anymore, right? I feel like that was the last Christmas classic that was made. That was over 10 years ago.
It's old now. And I watched the making of, have you watched the movies that made us on Netflix?
The Home Alone one? Have you seen the Home Alone
one? Yes,
dude. I love that one.
And the Elf one was it goes into Jon Favreau and his one thing was, we are going to make an absolute Christmas classic. And spoiler alert, the studio thought it was going to be such a failure. They fired him. Tried to re-edit it as an adult comedy, which would have totally ruined that movie.
Yeah.
And they realized, okay, we have no idea what we're doing. So they rehired Jon Favreau, let him finish the movie, and boom, Christmas classic. Yeah. He nailed it.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
And he's good.
It also borders an adult comedy still, right? There's a lot of adult jokes throughout. It's very Pixar-esque and it's adult humor.
Oh, for sure. Hey, but it's not
I hope you find your dad.
The stepbrothers of Christmas and everything. Yeah.
No, but that's also going to be a classic forever.
Actually, that's a good idea. Stepbrothers Christmas classic?
I mean, they address Christmas in Stepbrothers. They go through that season.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
I love that movie.
It's still funny. I watched it a few weeks ago and texted you guys. Movie? And it's just as funny.
Are we going to get in that debate of if there's Christmas in the movie, is it considered a Christmas movie?
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
All right. I guess we're doing it.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Can we not do that?
That's not, I don't care. Christmas for movie. A fact. But Lethal Weapon is not.
Here, I actually do care about this.
I do care. And you're wrong.
Lethal Weapon, does that have Christmas in it? No, does it?
Yeah.
Here, how about this one? Nightmare Before Christmas. Is that a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
100%.
I hate
Christmas
that
music.
I hate it too.
You hate it?
That's a Halloween movie.
Grayson likes it.
It literally says, this is Halloween.
Halloween,
this is Halloween,
Halloween, Halloween. But there's a whole Christmas song too. So wait, hold on. What are you saying it is? Because you're a fan.
100% Christmas.
It's not a Halloween movie.
It's both.
You got to pick one.
Literally, you go from a evil world with dead people into a elf-like Christmas world with presents and snow. You're in that world. It's not the same as being in Die Hard. It just happens to be winter time.
If you had to pick one, which one is it more of?
That's not how this works.
It can only be for one holiday. You can't make a movie that goes through the 12.
Yeah. Well, then it's
months.
Then it's 51 Halloween, 49 Christmas.
Oh, okay, so it's a Halloween movie. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Glad we settled that. All right. First news topic of today. The Super Mario Brothers movie got a new trailer. And in this trailer, we see and hear Peach and Luigi for the first time. Peach is voiced by Anya Taylor-Joy, and Luigi is voiced by Charlie Day. Yeah. We also get a racing scene at the very end, very much inspired by Mario Kart. Looks like Rainbow Road. They're straight up driving on a rainbow.
It looks like Rainbow
Road. Yeah, I assume it's Rainbow. Well, they didn't
say. It had some hints of Rainbow Road.
They didn't say it was Rainbow Road. But Ryan, let's start with you. What did you think of this trailer? You know, it's a TV spot, so it's not too long.
Is it bad if this made me a little less excited about it?
Mm. I mean, it's your opinion.
Yeah. The first trailer, I was hype. I was like, oh, this is it, man. This is actually going to be really good. This trailer, I don't know what it is. I was a little less interested. I will say, so far, I love that Charlie Day is Luigi because he is hilarious. He's awesome. That's like a perfect voice for a character like Luigi. I really like Peach. Her voice was spot on. I feel like, and they're kind of going, it looks like they're going the direction like she's really going to be saving the world. Mario looked too gooberish. Yeah. Like he looked like he has no bearing on what's actually happening. Like he's not a hero. And not only that, I hate to say this, guys. Uh-oh. I love Chris Pratt.
Okay.
But I haven't heard a single uttered word from Mario yet that was like, that's Mario. He said a few of his lines. What was it?
He said,
let's go.
At the very end.
Yeah. Or, and then I think he said, like, let's go, or it's
that was good.
Or something like that.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I'm and signing like, up on that.
Oh, man, that was painful. Like, I could do a better voice than that. And I'm not blaming Chris Pratt. I just think, like, why
can
they go that direction?
You can blame Chris Pratt.
I'm sure he was just told to say it like that. He could do better. It doesn't sound like a Mario.
Uh-uh.
Any rendition of Mario.
That's been one of the biggest critiques from early on is that they don't think you can do a Mario voice. And turns out, maybe not.
They're going to fire Chris Pratt and reshoot the entire movie with someone else's voice.
I mean, there was a bit of an uproar that they didn't get the actual voice actor who does Mario, Charles Martinet.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's like he is the voice of Mario. So it was, you noticed that this trailer, because the first trailer, yeah, he didn't really talk. He just did, I think
like
he did
one line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, he talks a little bit more, and it was noticeable for you?
Yeah, it was not great.
Was Charlie Day not distracting as Luigi for you then? I mean, that's straight up Charlie Day's voice.
I'm impartial towards Charlie Day. I think he's hilarious. And I feel like his personality in shows matches Luigi's.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And so, at first it threw me off. Because, like, we've heard Mario and Luigi's voices before. You know what I mean? Like, there's been plenty of games where they say something. So it caught me off guard. But at the same time, I was like, oh, I could totally see that being Luigi's voice.
As far as the bumbling, what did you say? How did you? Goober. As far
Goober-ish.
As being goober, I think they're setting him up as just being a plumber. Like, the way they started the trailer, yeah. I think he's just a plumber. And
this
he's
is
being
an origin
into...
story.
I love that, yeah. I like that a lot.
I do, too, because the first trailer opened up with him just, like, being in the Mushroom Kingdom world for the first time. Remember how he's, like, looking around?
That's true.
And then this one showed him, like, just working on a sink. So maybe he is just, you know, day one Mario. Year one. Nick,
yeah,
you
he
think?
Like looks down at a sink.
Yeah.
I like that.
What do you think?
Yeah. I felt the opposite about Charlie Day and Chris Pratt. I'm not a Chris Pratt fan. I mean, he's like cool, but I'm not a fanboy of him. I think he's going to do good. I think he's going to be, I think we have an idea of Mario from the main clips he's heard, but I don't think we've listened to Mario at full length ever. Would you
no,
say
he
that?
Never really has a conversation.
So I feel like there's going to be, I think we're going to adapt to that conversation of like, what does Mario sound like in a day-to-day world where he's just talking? I heard Luigi and was like, oh no. So I don't know if I'll be able to get over that one. I'm not partial to Charlie Day. So we'll see. I'm not a huge fan of Princess being, it looked like she was kind of like the fighter here in the gooberishness, but that's also probably pretty accurate to Mario.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
And she's like from Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
So it would make sense. Like she's
been
already leading them.
Mm-hmm.
That made sense to me. And I hear what you're saying. I think this stuff tends to melt away.
Yeah.
After 100%.
Comes yeah. out. Yeah. So like I'm being picky. That was just my first reaction is like, it made me less excited.
Yeah.
I'm still going to see this movie.
Of course.
Probably at premiere.
For sure.
And I'm sure it will be good.
Yeah. Let me say this. The summary of my second, my impression of this, I think it's going to be really good. I think them showing the sink and kind of these other aspects of being in the world and getting to know everybody and the little mushroom toads being like, but we're adorable. I think it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be, they're going to hit all of those boxes.
Yeah. I'm more excited for it after this trailer, I think. Yeah. I showed Grayson again because this is, I'm hyping this up to be his first movie.
Yeah.
It's coming out April 7th, 2023. So we got some time.
Mm. Good.
I will say we try to avoid, he watches pretty much everything Disney, and we try to avoid violent shows or violent anything. And sure enough, the trailer opens with Mario meeting Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong just beating him into the ground. And while Donkey Kong is beating him, he is cackling. He is just loving.
Oh, no.
Is it in your DNA that you just like violence?
He's got a little brother and he's about Donkey Kong size compared to Mario.
He's going to Donkey Kong Sam.
Yeah.
Ben is the same way. And all he watches is Bluey, so nothing violent, but I'm sure that he would absolutely love.
Yeah. I mean, you can't avoid it. So I'd rather, after the trailer, I was just like, hey, you know the part where Donkey Kong was hitting Mario? We don't do that, right?
That's a joke.
It's just pretend.
You know, my parents did a really good job of trying to train us that way. And my brother and I still fought so
I don't know if you can avoid it.
You can't. You just can't.
Okay.
It's like you can step in when like serious injury is involved for sure.
Yeah.
But there's just times where they're just going
to
wrestle.
Circling back to Home Alone, Emily and I have this yearly disagreement where she says he can't watch Home Alone yet because it's so violent. And every year
it
I'm
is
like,
pretty violent, but it's gag violent.
It's gag violent, but then she's also like, we were watching it the other night, just us, and she was like, do you see how Kevin's a punk. Kevin McAllister, at the beginning of those movies, is a punk.
It's true.
He's like stomping, you know, at the top of the stairs. I don't remember what he stomps, but he's like, I'm na 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 na. Like he's screaming something incessantly. And I'm like, you know, she has a point just from that standpoint, is that I don't want him mimicking,
acting like
thinking
Kevin.
He can be like Kevin.
Because Kevin's not a role model.
But like, I don't remember us ever. I watched that show or that movie when I was about Grayson's age.
You were three?
Maybe four or five.
Well, I was just going to say, I was a punk after that movie, so God. I don't know.
It came out in 90 or 89.
Yeah,
I'm torn. I'm ready for him to see it because I love that movie.
Yeah.
But think about the protagonist. You don't want your kid to grow up like Kevin McAllister.
I want my house to be a death trap for intruders. I want to be able to leave my kid. Allie and I go on a date. He's 4 years old. And I know someone walks through that door, they're getting a paint can in the face.
Yeah.
A paint can in the face.
Yeah.
That's stuck with me forever. Yeah.
It's always the paint
tax can. Tax on the floor.
Tax on the floor.
Ooh, yeah.
Getting tarred.
Tarred.
Yeah,
that was
very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, like I said, I don't know if you want your kid to be like him.
Yeah, if you were to write out that story on paper, it might sound like a horror. Like Saw.
Wow, it could get that way. They could do a Home Alone horror.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Did you see the Grinch horror?
I have, yeah.
But it's not, it's called the Mean One.
It's gonna
they can't say the Grinch.
Yeah.
It's called the Mean One and
looks
sick. Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. It looks pretty terribly acted.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But I like the
theme. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Anyways, how did we
get? Hasn't the Grinch had enough?
There's three Kevin. Grinch movies, and Grayson loves all of them.
Yeah, my boy Doctor Strange in the last one.
I'm just saying, like, we're always painting him as the mean guy.
Yeah.
How many times do we have to see him go good? You know what I mean? He's had to relive, like, changing his life three times.
It's inspiring, no?
Yeah,
don't make a
redemption
horror.
Arc.
He's gonna like murder a bunch of people, and they're like, "We forgive you."
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, probably won't be a redemption arc in that movie.
No. I think he's just gonna be
the
indefinitely.
I don't think the redemption arc.
Cindy Lou Who might be dying in that movie.
She's probably dead in that.
Or they'll go Home Alone style, and she kills him.
Oh yeah, maybe they do kill.
Maybe Cindy Lou Who's the killer.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Okay, last thing. This trailer, in the first 24 hours, got 15 million combined views.
Oof.
People are excited.
Dude, Nintendo is just like running the world.
Speaking of Nintendo, did you guys read the show notes?
About Pokemon?
Did you read the show notes?
No. You told me not to.
I did not tell you not to, but I just assumed you wouldn't. Okay. Nintendo apologized, guys. Nintendo apologizes for poor performance for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
As you should.
So the following message from Nintendo was shared on a customer support page explaining how to update your game to the most recent version. So that's like the core of the page. It's just how do you update to this newest version with the whatever bug fixes. On that page, they say, "We are aware that players may encounter issues that affect the game's performance. Our goal is always to give players a positive experience with our games, and we apologize for the inconvenience. We take the feedback from players seriously and are working on improvements to the games."
That's more like it. Nintendo would apologize, but stuff it deep down into a support page where, like,
into a how-to.
99% of players are not going to see
it's that. It's literally a customer support page. I saw this page and I was like, but games journalists have picked it up.
You know, because like someone is writing that article for Nintendo and could apologize for Nintendo and Nintendo not even know it. You know, it's not like the CEO wrote that.
Someone's fired and that message is going to be deleted.
Yeah, Nintendo didn't tweet that out
as
like a message.
You know,
like,
they did actually. Pull up Nintendo's Twitter account for me real quick. They didn't say the exact wording, but they are acknowledging. And I think that's big for them in general, right?
Ryan.
Acknowledging issues.
Ryan, wow. Ryan, do you want to take this one?
I mean, we could acknowledge our issues all day, but what good is that without an apology?
Oh. Agreed.
I just think it's like, all right, I don't want to get on my high horse, but here I go.
Here we do. Every episode.
When you are someone like Nintendo and you are like...
I'm so sorry. So sorry. Nick, just breaking news. Nick, what does it say?
A software update for Pokemon Scarlet Violet will be released on 12/1. Please visit our website for more information. We take the feedback from players seriously and will continue to work on improvements to the game.
So no apology, but that's that was apology. It. Okay, anyways.
And that person is fired for writing
that apology. That was too much, too.
Yeah.
That actually was deleted last night and he just pulled it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something weird to me. It feels like when games are taking advantage of like kids' brain chemistry, like selling skins or something like that. They sold more copies of this game than they ever sold with any other game that fast, right? That was like a record breaker for them.
Yeah.
To a ton of children. A lot of adults too.
Yeah.
And it's like, they just know they can put out like a half finished game and it's going to sell. Like they just know that they have you in their pocket, which is like fair. I mean, I'm not criticizing the fact that they make really good IP and everyone cares about Pokemon. Pokemon's never been bigger. I love Pokemon.
But why is it not a Cyberpunk?
Well, it's just like there's no really excuse to not put in that extra work to polish it. It's not a lack of funding. It's not like they don't have the money to hire enough help. It's not like there's just like no factor where it makes sense other than the fact that they actually don't care.
Yeah, it leads me to assume they don't care or that it was made for some type of business decision, which also makes me.
And I agree with you guys, but I think it's like it comes down to priorities. And if I'm thinking back to Gamer Jacob as a kid, I didn't know the term frame rate until I was, 20 years old, 19 years old. I didn't know that term frame rate. And I remember when games would drop in frame rate as a kid, I was just like, oh, it's lagging a little bit. That's what I would say. And I moved on. I didn't care. I think they know their audience. I think they know that regardless if this is at 60 frames per second or 30 frames per second or 15 in moments, people are here for the cute animal that's going to evolve and fight another cute animal that's going to evolve.
Yeah. And it's not even like, it's not just the frame rate. I mean, I've just seen so many other issues where it's like just a mess. People are battling and the NPCs are walking in the middle of the battles. Well, and like, yeah, just like there's a lot of, and to their credit, this is like, besides Arceus, this is their first full blown 3D open world game.
Is that
how you describe it? So there's 100% there's some grace there, but at the same time, it's just like you are one of the most wealthy video game studios in the world.
Yeah.
are you just choosing to keep 15 people on your team for no reason? Or, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just don't understand. It just seems like a lot of like very simple fixes that a few hires could have
contributed to
big time.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that.
Like I said, I think it comes down to their priorities. They know they're going to get sales. It comes down to dollars at the end.
So
of the day,
that's my whole thing is because you can know your audience, but that's still not really a good excuse for being the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest
IPs
in the world, and then saying, "Well, we know the audience, so we're still going to release it 90% done." Like, so then why is 90% done a priority? And then like, again, I understand that we can be reviewing things and there's a lot of things we don't understand or don't see. Like, I think that happens in the business world all the time. So I have grace there, but when you're just quiet and you can repeatedly do that, like, you're giving me the power to assume bad things and you just keep doing it. So it's like, I'm trying to fill in the blank here and figure out why they keep doing this, and I'm only coming up with negative stuff.
Yeah,
so
and it's just remember too that Nick actually owns this game right now.
Yes, and I haven't clicked into it.
But here's the thing:
you could get a refund, maybe.
Nintendo is notorious for pushing back release dates. That's what they do because, like, a lot of the games they care enough to where they're like, they know this is crap, and our audience will not like this if we release it at this level.
Mm.
But Pokemon, it's like, they're like, they'll eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pigs will eat the slop kind of thing. And they just like throw it out. And it's
always worth clarifying that Nintendo might not make that call. Remember, Nintendo does not own the Pokemon IP. It's Game Freak is the developer. It's the Pokemon company owns the IP. There's partnership and there's exclusivity. But they might not determine what is and when is released for a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know the details there. But I don't know. I do think from the people you've talked to, you said the people you've talked to haven't had issues with this game. I also want to be conscious of that we haven't played it, and that from those I've seen online that aren't reviewers, who are just average Joes, who that's who we claim to talk to, are enjoying this game.
It's Pokemon.
Pokemon's
great.
Maybe it was the episode that we lost, but I came out in the opposite and said that I'd spoke to a few people who had been enjoying it, hadn't seen any of those issues. So I didn't want to gripe on those specific things. To your point, though, this isn't the first time, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about it because it's a trend, you know? So I do think there's some valid concerns there, but I haven't played it just because I don't have time and I've heard great things about it.
There has to be a challenger in the space. That's the only way they're going to be better, is that if someone steps up, makes a good game.
Pokemon games could be, I think it's, maybe it's just like unmet expectations because it's unfair of me to ask. Pokemon games could be unbelievable.
They could.
Unbelievable.
They really could.
Oh gosh, man. If they put in the money they could put in. Oh yeah, next month would be great.
Next month's going to hire.
Have you seen the fan-made stuff where it's like full 3D worlds and Unreal Engine?
Okay, Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
Their starters, the final evolution. So the last, this is another gripe. The last several generations, the final evolution of the starter Pokemon have been atrocious.
Yeah.
These starter Pokemon are the ugliest, just laziest, I feel like they've ever been.
True.
Sword and Shield were also not good. But these fans would make these like their versions of the starter final evolution that were epic looking, made sense. They looked natural. They didn't have like, I hate when Pokemon like Machop has like a belt, like it evolves a belt. Like that's silly. He's got like little tidy whities there.
Yeah, it's stronger, right? He got a little bigger.
He grew arms. True. But dude, these like fans make such good stuff. They make such good stuff. And I wish so bad. Like that's another thing. It's like when you just don't have, you have the capital of Pokemon, but you don't have enough players on the team to like invest quality into the game.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get the greatest designs. Mm-hmm. Like there's just not enough creativity among like a small group of people to make such an amazing thing. Dude,
they should just outsource that entire thing. Yes. Hey, we want to add 150 Pokemon. You should take 10,000 submissions.
You know what they should outsource too? And you'll agree with this because you sent me a video. They should have AI make some of these Pokemon because they make them better.
They should. 100%
like,
better.
The AI that combines certain Pokemon that from like first one, like Gen 1, is amazing.
Dude, there's a game. There's a fan-made Pokemon game called Pokemon Fusion, I think.
I think it was right, yeah.
And it just like evolves. You can basically fuse, like, I think they did Zapdos and a Duskop.
Skull Kid, right? Isn't or whoever the Skull Oh Kid. No, you're right. Skull Kid's later. You're right. It's Dusclops.
Yeah. And it's like this ghost Zapdos with like and it's all skeleton. And it looks epic. Yeah. And like its electricity is like purple.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is an epic Pokemon.
Sick.
You can make that, and no one would even think, like, oh, this is just a Zapdos reskin. Like it was so unique.
Yeah.
So question real quick. I agree with you on the final evolves being just atrocious. Do you think people who were not there for the original 150 feel the same?
I don't know. I'd have to ask my niece and nephew.
You should ask.
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I think we have bias.
Yeah, because I mean, it'll just never be the first 150, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Even like, you know, the next batch was like okay for me, but every time they release new Pokemon, it's just a step down, in my opinion.
Ruby and Sapphire were
agreed.
Good.
Very good. Very, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I loved the ability to make tree houses, little tree forts. I think that was the first game you could do that
in. It is. I just couldn't tell if you're being sarcastic just now.
No.
Yeah,
no, I loved it.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm just talking about the starters.
Yeah. So, no, I agree. I think that would be a question for me, though. Is this just a bias for people who have this nostalgic first 150? Or does the rest of the world truly see how ugly and lame these designs are?
10 million sales in 3 days. I think that's your answer.
Yes.
The Pokemon IP is the biggest it's ever been. It's more successful than it's ever been. And maybe we just are old.
Yeah.
Don't say we have to
all
accept
I'm
it.
Saying is if I had don't chosen Quaxly in this,
you see
this
the
latest game. I would have been so disappointed. I would have been so disappointed to evolve this Pokemon to the final stage and get that.
Look, let me.
I would have released.
Let me tell you what my brother said.
You ever release a Pokemon?
I've released Pokemon. I don't know if you could do your starter, but that would be hilarious.
So Chad sent me this.
He did not.
He sent me this. He did. Sent me this one day, and then 2 days later, do not choose the water one.
Yeah, it's so true. Dude. Yeah, it's in the photo of it because he's so embarrassed. It's the worst Pokemon I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, I have to look up the evolutions now. Dude. All right, guys, let's get out of this. Honestly, hearing that if I hear an update, a substantial update comes out for performance, I'm probably gonna get this game. I have to see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, everything being said, I'll probably play this.
I have the game.
I will play this.
I have the game. So yeah. I will play it.
Okay, Nick, you play first. Let us know. All right. I want to do a quick segment here for a review rundown of Midnight Sun. So Midnight Suns comes out tomorrow, and all the reviews are out now. And we've been talking about this. I've been talking about this game for the last year. I've been excited for it. I just want to throw out some reviews, see what you guys think, if you're going to be pulled into it, if you're still going to buy it. So first off, this is sitting at an 83 on Metacritic, so good. IGN gave it an 8, saying Marvel's Midnight Suns is an expansive tactical RPG that makes great use of card mechanics to inject variety and unpredictability into its excellent combat. GameSpot gave it an 8 also. Pros, the power of friendship leads to memorable story moments and excellent gameplay rewards. Cons, the members of the Avengers often feels tacked on and largely develop narratively in uninteresting ways. BGC gave it a 5 out of 5, saying it's their biggest surprise of the year. So they said Marvel's Midnight Suns combines addictive, deep strategy gameplay with a cast of characters that make the moments outside of the action just as rich and enjoyable as those in it. A lengthy campaign packed with missions to go on and relationships to form with Earth's mightiest heroes make Marvel's Midnight Suns a modern strategy classic and one of 2022's biggest surprises. And then a reviewer that I really like and respect his opinion, SkillUp, says he recommends half of Midnight Suns. And in his 20-minute video, he goes on to basically point out that every tactical and strategy aspect of this game is amazing. It's an absolute recommend. But half of the game is spent back at a home base where you are building relationships and talking to the Avengers, or not even the Avengers, but the other Marvel characters. And through dialogue options and through activities like yoga, you build relationships with them that then give them more abilities and synergy on the battlefield when you go back out. He said that portion is terrible.
Yoga.
I'm absolutely certain, actually. I think yoga is in there. I think Blade will do yoga with you. Yeah. And that was one of his gripes, is that like Blade does not feel like Blade, and certain characters do not feel like certain characters.
Blade also doesn't feel like a yoga partner.
Blade also leads the book club of the mansion.
That sounds like a Blade that has gone to like rehab or something and is a completely different person.
He also gripes about vampire movies in the game.
I would. Yeah.
So
come on. Blade, does he need to be in Marvel?
Okay, we're going. Okay, go ahead, please.
Ryan, I could get on this.
Be in Marvel. Like, do we need a vampire with swords? Do we? There's so much things in Marvel that it's like, it's literally like they gave too many people the ability to write into their universe, and people were just like coming up with ideas left and right, which is normally awesome.
So they should take the Pokemon route.
Squirrel Girl and Blade, they're on the same level as far as I'm concerned.
I was actually going to bring up, if you have problems with Blade, you would have an issue with Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is pretty ridiculous that
they're like the same tier. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, they got some epic heroes. Don't get me wrong. Like Iron Man, Black Panther.
Let's Hulk. Back up from just
great.
Critiquing Marvel.
Great writing.
Marvel as a whole. I know we can sit there for a little while, but
I could do it all day.
Marvel's Midnight Suns. It sounds a lot like Fire Emblem Three Houses, which I actually loved. But the worst part of that game was going back to the kind of schoolyard and having to talk to these colleagues that build relationships, and then you can, you know, again, synergy on the battlefield. It sounds just like that. So to me, it's not a big turnoff. It's not like, oh, I can't play this game now. If the tactical aspect is good, that's what I'm there for, and I can put up with some boring story stuff. I can just click through, like we do in Pokemon. But I'm curious for you, given that kind of review rundown, Nick, you were interested in playing this game. Thoughts after this? Sitting at an 83, IGN 8, VGC 5 out of 5. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try it just because I'm not a card fan, but I want to be open-minded and kind of check my biases, and I will fully let you know if the yoga is a complete experience ruiner or not. So I can only put up with so much.
Actually,
if it's not... Well, I don't know. It's got to mash. There's got to be some type of... I'll let you know. If it derails the strategy aspect, which is already a hurdle for me as someone who's not a card fan, that'll probably be my angle. But a lot of people have written some really good things about it so far. So yeah. We'll see.
I think Adam would like this.
You think? Yeah, I could see that. Blade, it's the darker side of Marvel, all those things. I thought of you about the yoga thing, because it's like the critique was that, like, could you ever see Blade doing
Thanks,
yoga? Well, you're into meditation, and I know yoga is kind of like meditating.
Yoga's great.
It was
I
like,
just can't do it.
The critique was that, like, yoga's lame. Why would Blade do it? And I was like, kind of like, well, I think like yoga is actually a pretty respectable, healthy thing. Yeah.
If you're going to jump off buildings, you got to be flexible.
You think Batman became Batman without some yoga?
Probably.
I think Black Batman.
Years, a lack of therapy.
Begins.
Yeah.
Lack of therapy.
Alcohol.
And no yoga.
Who's
maybe some alcohol.
Who's his trainer in Black Batman Begins?
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. You think that guy doesn't do yoga?
I don't know about yoga, but he definitely meditates.
Yeah.
He does yoga.
Yeah.
You might be right.
He's doing downward dog on the weekends.
I can picture, actually, for some reason, I can see him in that Batman Begins
Qui-Gon?
Doing yoga.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Like,
are we talking about Qui-Gon?
Maybe I'm confused with Qui-Gon. You're right.
Yeah. You would totally do yoga.
I think there's a bias there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're still out.
Leg behind the head. That's the only way you're getting that high kick.
Remember when we did yoga that one time and you farted in my face?
No. This is what happened. We were doing yoga with our wives at this yoga studio. And this is so funny. This says more about you than me.
I've never heard this story.
Oh, you've never heard this?
No.
All right. So there's a stretch where you like spread your legs and then you're like touching the mat. So your legs are outward, toes pointed outward, and you're touching the mat.
Yeah.
And Nick goes to reach down to touch the mat.
I'm behind him, obviously.
His head goes straight into my butt. And keep in mind, I am sweating. Like, there's sweat dripping.
Yeah.
And his basically the brow of his face seats right between my butt cheeks.
And is this real?
This is 100% real. And I just go, oh! I just yell out this like grunt, and everyone turns and looks at Nick's a quiet
yoga class.
And we both just fall over dying. And the instructor's like trying to regain control of the class, but there's no regaining control after
also,
that.
Also, we never went back. Yeah.
We never went back. It was that embarrassing, but it was hilarious. I was dying.
It's a good time.
I did not know.
I forgot
our
about
our wives that. Were like, oh my God, we're never taking them anywhere again.
So for the audience, we went from Midnight Suns to Blade doing yoga to Nick and Ryan doing yoga to that story.
To Ryan farting in my face.
Yeah. I don't think there was a fart though, right?
Is there was a fart.
I don't.
It smelled like one knows what you're saying.
Didn't smell good.
Anyways, are you still out on Midnight Suns?
Yes.
Something tasted off.
All right, moving on.
Salt.
Our next segment. Serious questions with Ryan.
Okay, I got a good question for
you. Real quick on segments. You play the guitar, right?
Yes.
Could you bring your guitar in and just make up little...
Just one chord.
Just
wait.
Just, yeah, for each segment.
Do you really play the guitar?
Yes.
Is that like a yes? Like, I didn't fart in your face at yoga? Yes? Or like,
I certainly didn't fart in your face in yoga. If anything, I could have sworn you were the one with the leaky butthole that day.
Gosh, guys.
Anyway, I do
play yoga's guitar. Challenging.
I will play a chord for all of our, maybe for all of our segments. Serious questions with Ryan.
Ooh.
Okay. Speaking of Pokemon, of the three starter types,
Bulbasaur.
Which one would you remove?
Ooh.
And same what would you replace it with for all games?
You mean you get to pick one of the other
Pokemon? One of the three types. And you get to pick any other type.
149?
To put in its place.
You want to go first, Nick?
No.
So I know what I want to replace it with because I think it's just iconic and it's nuts that it's not. You said one of the three starters?
Yeah.
I think it's nuts that this is not one of the three starters. I know it is an aversion, but I think Pikachu, with how iconic and the fact that you couldn't get Pikachu until, you know, a while in the first game, I think Pikachu should be a starter. Replacing is harder. Charmander has the lock, in my opinion, okay? I am biased towards Bulbasaur. He's my favorite. But when I think about it, he might have to go in this context.
Why would you choose Squirtle over Bulbasaur?
He said he might choose Bulbasaur.
Have you seen...
No, you're saying you would keep him in. Yeah, yeah. So
no, I'm saying I might remove Bulbasaur.
So why would you choose Squirtle?
I feel like Squirtle's more iconic. I think Bulbasaur is the underdog. He is the least picked, I think. And I think Charmander and Squirtle are more popular. Just think about Red and Blue version alone. It really should have been Red, Blue, and Yellow version. And those were the three starters, in my opinion.
Dang. I was going to say Squirtle because I think he's the easiest starting Pokemon. And I'm just biased towards people that choose the easiest route.
I think Charmander's definitely the easiest route.
No, he's the early game.
No way. No. First gym is
rock. And then the
next gym is water.
I'm just thinking about everything else other than that. Everything else you walk right through. Everything else is like grass type. Everything else around you is grass and bug type.
Yeah, but you have to grind to get there. You've got to grind to get there.
Fair. Fair.
I mean, you're literally using Ember on rock and water.
Yeah.
And then you don't have any other fire attacks.
And then if you solely grind him, he's actually not good because then if you get into the later stages of the game, it doesn't matter how powerful one fire Pokemon is. You still have to have a well-balanced team.
Yeah, and Bulbasaur gets to fight rock and water right off the bat.
Gotta love Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
Gotta love Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur's the easiest.
Yeah.
Love him.
But so to your point, though,
Squirtle, you're saying?
I was, okay. Yeah. But now you've made me think that Bulbasaur should just have a spot there. Poor Bulbasaur. So I would replace him with a Mew. Yeah. Call me crazy. He's cute, small, cuddly, floats, should be in that beginning three.
I don't think you can use a legendary as a starter.
You didn't say that.
That's true.
I want Mewtwo. as my server.
No, Mewtwo,
and to be clear, this isn't just the first game. This is like spanning all of Pokemon.
No one cares about anything after. Any other Pokemon after.
That's fair. Okay, here's my thinking. This...
You can't choose Hitmonlee.
The obvious choice at first, when I first thought of this, was Bulbasaur. Because I think he's... Grass, to me, is just sort of a weak type. Like, it's silly. I just think it's kind of silly. But here's what I will say. When we're talking combat, I don't think, if we're being totally honest, I think water is the weakest. Like, it's just kind of weird that your first water attack is usually like water gun, and you're just spitting on the opponent water. But that doesn't hurt anything. Maybe.
Unless you're a Diglett.
If they're like Charmander and they have like a flame that can't be put out or they die, sure. But every other scenario, a water gun is useless. At least like fire type, you're literally lighting them on fire, or vine whip with a grass where you're just like beat pummeling them with a vine.
Yeah.
I think water is the obvious choice to cut out because water is like a utility Pokemon. I do love Blastoise. Don't get me wrong. I love some of the water types. I really only kept water in my party for Surf.
Mm.
I wasn't like, I'm going to build my team around water. I would get Gyarados and then never use him again. I always notice like, if I use Gyarados, it was for like dragon abilities.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's a tough argument with Gyarados. I get the argument with Squirtle.
But the pure water types are just sort of like even Surf was a really powerful move.
Yeah.
Until you get to, it's like Hydro Cannon with Blastoise.
Hydro Pump.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you get to that, it doesn't make sense that water's ever going to win a fight.
No, you got points. So who are you replacing him with?
Rock.
Who? Geodude?
Oh, I didn't think about like a specific Pokemon.
That. Yeah, don't
you're saying
because every generation is different. But I'm saying I would replace water with rock because here's why: it already fits. Grass is powerful against rock, and rock is good against fire. Fire can't light rock on fire, and grass.
So it still fits in the
is effective. It still fits in the triangle.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Naturally, without like electric. That was my first thought too. Is like it's got to be Pikachu. But that doesn't really, it kind of messes up the flow of like your rival and then the early gym battles and like all this stuff. I think it's got to be rock. What about it's the only thing that neatly fits into those.
What about something normal, like an Eevee?
Normal's not bad, but then it's not playing into one of their weaknesses.
Yeah, it's not a...
You're right.
Then grass goes unchecked or fire goes unchecked or you know whoever it is you're leaving in goes unchecked. One of them would. But that's interesting. I never thought about it like that.
I think the natural order is grass, rock, fire. Because those could each do a lot of damage. Water, people don't like this. You need to hear it. Water's utility. It's good for filling up the little Dixie cups at marathons. And
yeah, Ryan's the one that would use Squirtle to fill up.
And help Squirtle, like, can you volunteer fire department. Like that's the best thing about
Squirtle, water. You stay home and fill up my Brita. You don't get to come on this journey.
Honestly, like you put turtles in tanks. You know, at like in real life, you put a turtle in a tank and it just sits there. Right? You're not going to put a friggin' dragon Charmander.
I've never thought about it.
To a tank.
I guess there aren't really that many cool.
At least you plant a Bulbasaur outside.
Is there a cool water type? That's a good question. I mean, throw Gyarados out because he's a dragon.
Yeah, but he's sick. And he comes from a Magikarp.
No, but he's,
here's the other limit.
You're right.
This doesn't make sense to me. It's never made sense to me. When you have a battle, say you catch Tentacruel, okay? And then you go fight in a gym and say it's like the fire gym. They don't have like a pool. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. So you can't have like Tentacruel just like floating or like, you know, just like sitting on the ground.
Tentacruel.
Like we've always just ignored the water.
Your idea though. Tentacruel is pretty cool. He's pretty cruel.
He's got the most annoying. No,
you're thinking of Tentacruel.
Anyways.
Rap.
Anyways. Guys, let's get in some housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Upcoming episodes. Guys, next week is the Game Awards. And
it's another good time.
I love the Game Awards. I really love the trailers, the awards. I really want to see where Elden Ring God of War pans out in the big ecosystem. Who's going to win there?
They keep getting better.
The Game Awards?
Every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
They're getting
the production.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Bigger bands,
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima's
Imagine Dragons
doing different. Yeah, with Supergiant, which was really cool.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Imagine Dragons.
I wasn't like on board with that,
but then you put Giant. Yeah. And yeah, we'll cover it. We'll probably do, I think it's going to be Thursday night. We might record Friday morning. I'll talk to you guys. We'll see if we can schedule that. And then after that, we've got God of War Ragnarok spoiler cast where I'm done. These guys are still working through it. Nick's still in the first like 15 minutes of the game, it looks like. We'll get there eventually.
10 hours.
It feels like the first 15 minutes. Jeez. When you saw the screenshots, then you were like, that was so long ago.
Nick has spent 10 hours in the intro scene.
Just rewatching it.
That sled with Freya.
He just keeps doing the slide thing. Riders Republic, not a full review, but having a friend on to talk about that. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. I think you guys have been playing that a little bit. We'll come back to it. We'll do a full review on that. Some more episodes on Steam Deck. Midnight Suns, like I talked about, we'll get there. High on Life, and then Inscription. Did you end up buying Inscription? High
on Life. No, but I will.
Okay. And then High on Life, that's coming out in the next couple weeks here too. So if there's any game you want us to play, let us know right in the show. You know, if you have some thoughts on Pokemon that you just disagree with us on, just let us know. We're curious to see. I think we're old. I think we're out of touch when it comes to Pokemon personally, and I'm okay admitting that. Yeah. Especially Ryan.
That's like, true.
I think so.
Especially Ryan.
That's true. Anyways, I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
Guys, another upcoming episode. I just thought about this. It's December. We need to start thinking about how Christmas we can do Christmas special. Yeah.
We also need to review how gaming got to where it's at today. A history of gaming.
Not a bad idea.
Comprehensive history.
In January. Start the new year with a...
We were talking about being thankful reminisce. For the people who...
Oh, you mean like developers?
Moving through all the consoles. And, yeah.
God, that sounds like...
The first video game was probably like a lot of made in like the 70s or
something. That could be a segment.
Series. It sounds like a lot of work for me. If you guys want to help me with that, I'm absolutely down. But if I'm just the one doing it, I'm out. Okay. I'm out right now.
Like a book
report. That's a lot. It's a report, really. Yeah.
I'm fine with you doing that.
Anyways, we'll see you next week.
I love you.
Remember when we did yoga that one time and you farted in my face?
No. This is